I inspect the trunk of the ash to check whether I can locate the initials TH, Thames Head, said to have been carved in the bark many moons ago. I can't. Then I retrace my steps down the trail of oaks to the A433, part of the Foss Way, the ancient Roman route. From here, I turn right, and a short distance along, past a dead hedgehog and a scattering of squashed shotgun cartridges, I reach the Thames Head Inn. This is where I'm spending the night, ahead of taking to the Thames Path proper tomorrow morning. I order a drink and take a seat by a sculpture of Old Father Thames on a mantelpiece. The most famous representation of this mythical figure used to be found at Shrewsbury Mead, but that version was vandalised so often it was moved for safety to a lock near Lechlade. I'll be going to Lechlade in 2 days' time. Meg, the assistant trainee manager at the Thames Head Inn, comes over to chat. She has blonde hair and heavy black eyeliner. She's from Cirencester, about 3 miles away, and has been working at the pub for a couple of years. Some people do the whole thing, she says. By whole thing, she's referring to walking the distance of the Thames to the sea. They do it as a hobby, over a few years mostly. My intention is to complete this feat in 21 days. Meg shows me a map on a wall with the route to the stone at Shrewsbury Mead. People come back and say, there's no water there. But in the winter, you sometimes can't even get to the source because it's so flooded. This local map is hung next to another that depicts the full length of the river, a print based on the one by William Tomlinson that partly inspired my Thames walk. I take this to be a good omen and run my eyes over the stop-offs to come. Cricklade, Lechlade, Oxford, Abingdon, Wallingford, Reading, Henley, Marlow, Maidenhead, Windsor, Runnymede, Staines, Teddington, where the river turns tidal, Twickenham, Richmond, Kew, Mortlake, my home, Chelsea, Westminster, Southwark, Rotherhithe, Greenwich, Woolwich, Gravesend, Cliff, Hoo, the Isle of Grain, and then, at last, the sea. So many places. Such a long way. I am aware, of course, that I am not exactly the first to follow this route. It is possible to fill shelves with illuminating and learned books about the river. On top of all the guides and histories are countless novels and poems, as well as famous utterances. The Thames seems to encourage a flow of words, with so many luminaries having mused on what the river means to the land through which it winds. Winston Churchill once said the Thames offers a golden thread of our nation's history. While the early 20th century politician John Burns commented, especially memorably, that the river represents liquid history. A tremendous amount has happened on and beside the river, from invasions by Romans and Vikings to the signing of the Magna Carta, the births and deaths of kings and queens, the execution of traitors, the import of exotic spices and goods from faraway lands, the embarkation to distant unknown shores. And, not to forget, London has happened by the River Thames. The world's first metropolis grew up by its banks. On the terrace of the Thames Head Inn, the sense of anticipation is tantalising. I am treating myself to a journey that has long lingered in the back of my mind. I am about to indulge in a dream, to embrace an icon of Englishness in the plum days of July and August with the sun shining and weather warm. At least I hope so. I do not, however, intend to describe the trip ahead in a vacuum. I am setting forth on a very particular summer. Since I planned this walk, Britain has changed. Brexit, the yet-to-be-implemented outcome of a decision in a referendum to leave the European Union, has become a fact of life. There are to be many spin-off consequences, and the result of the referendum, 1 month old, hangs in the air. The country has altered. Fears about waves of immigrants, unhappiness with Brussels bureaucrats and a metropolitan elite perceived to be in charge at Westminster, plus a much-repeated desire for the people to...